And it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio Frank Kelly, who oversees the airport. And as the superintendent, you have some interesting responsibilities, I guess we'd say. What do you do most during your day? How do you spend your day?
So on a day-to-day basis, a lot of my job entails, first and foremost, making sure that the airport is a safe place to operate.
Okay.
Secondly, that the airport is in compliance with all the FAA government regulations. Thirdly, that I'm dealing with tenants and leasing activities and the day-to-day operations of the airport, coordinating activities with the tenants, making sure that the runway is clean of all debris and operational, and working with the flight service station to coordinate efforts, things of that nature. Our public works department for snow removal, wind events.
Okay.
A lot of boring stuff every day.
Well, I don't think it's likely. It's not boring if what you're doing is providing a way for those people who are in aircraft that are either landing or taking off and like to have things be all in order.
Yeah. It's boring. It's rarely boring. There's always something going on and something to do. That's for sure. It's a position in which I need to be a jack of all trades and a master of none.
Right. And what I also understand is there are some rather significant changes occurring in the airport runway. By major, we're talking about a multi-million dollar upgrade.
Yes, that's right, Mike. We're engaging in a capital improvement project that will should be in excess of $10 million, maybe approaching $11 million. And with that project, we are going to totally rehabilitate our main runway, 1634, and do some other related improvements. So during late summer, we will be dovetailing this work in after the fire season is over and before the fair begins, because obviously those two events have an effect on the city of Palmer and its operations, and i.e. the airport. But so generally after the fire season's over and before the fair, we're going to be trying to do a lot of work out there in a short period of time. So we will be closing the main runway for up to 28 days and the crosswind runway for maybe up to 7 days, but neither runway will be closed simultaneously. So one will be open at all times, except for maybe a brief period off and on for a few days in which there's just no other way around it. But we are going to be coordinating efforts with pilots and stakeholders and obviously the Division of Forestry to make sure that there's as few interruptions as possible. But when the project is done, the city of Palmer will have a brand spanking new 6,000-foot runway. It will also have the crosswind runway fog sealed and remarked. We are going to be doing some spot repairs on one of the main taxiways and then doing some obstacle removal so that planes don't have the opportunity to strike things in and around the airport and on the airfield in case they get a little off target or course.
Wow. So this will mean that when we look at Palmer's airport, and I know that pilots have sometimes, depending upon their needs, options regarding airports. How will this make the Palmer airport, if you will, as compared to the competition, more attractive?
A number of different ways. If you've ever driven down the highway on a rutted highway or driven down the highway on a brand new stretch of pavement, there's a preference for the latter over the former in regard to it's sweet running. And so pilots are no different. When they take off or land, they'd rather do it on a brand new stretch of asphalt that's well marked, clearly defined, etc. And so that's what the Palmer Municipal Airport will have by the end of next summer, hopefully, if all things go well and weather cooperates, is from the air and from the ground, it's going to be a complete makeover. In addition to that, and what I didn't mention earlier was part of the capital improvements is we are going to be expanding the large aircraft apron parking area to accommodate more business activities on the south end of the airport.
Okay. Now, I've been out at the airport recently, full disclosure. Actually, I went out there because I have some friends who have a light aircraft out there, and it was tied down, and the winds were blowing, and they happened to be out of town.
Yeah.
So my wife and I assisted by, because of the circumstance, they had some wing covers on, and they tend to flap when the wind gets into that 50-mile-per-hour gust range. So they're sort of taken off and then put back when it's snowing again and the rest of it. So it was the first time I'd been actually out there on the apron looking at the aircraft. I was focused, obviously, because we were removing those wing covers. But I noticed a lot of aircraft that are out there through the winter that are tied down. And of course, there are others that are in some of the hangars that are there. A lot of light aircraft. And my impression is that there will be larger aircraft using the improved runway. Is that, I know that this will improve things for everyone, but I'm just wondering whether larger aircraft will see a greater difference than lighter aircraft. I guess that's my question.
Actually, the majority of use at the airport is from light aircraft.
Light aircraft, okay.
Seasonally, the Division of Forestry is going to bring in their heavier aircraft to fight, forest fires in
right.
the South Central region. And I don't think, that is it's a good activity to be placed in the city of Palmer.
Right.
It is a needed and valuable service. And the Division of Forestry brings in an awful lot of employees who shop and eat locally here. And add a lot of economic wherewithal to our economy and the businesses around it. So having that repaved runway will be a plus because it will encourage the Division of Forestry, if need be, to
okay.
increase their presence at the airport.
That's where
well.
I was headed with my question, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we happen to live not far. We live within 1 mile, probably, I'm going to say almost a half a mile, of the airport, and we are just off the crosswind runway, which is kind of interesting because our personal experience is that we have not noticed occasionally aircraft land, and they come over Palmer and they land on that runway, so we're not in a flight path where people are typically taking off. It's going the opposite direction. And can we expect that crosswind runway to have more activity during a period of time?
Yeah. For approximately 28 days this okay. summer, between late July and early August, like I'd mentioned before, mm-hmm. the main runway will have to be shut down,
okay.
as well as the gravel strip because it's so close, to grind up all the asphalt, improve the runway safety protection zone and safety areas at both end and repave it, restripe it, things of that nature. So that crosswind runway work for 3 to 4 weeks will see more use. But at that time of year, the Division of Forestry has wound things down generally unless we have an unusual fire season, okay. a late fire season, etc. So the majority of that use will come from small aircraft that don't have access to the larger runway. So it shouldn't be too much of a noise deterrent for the city, but it will be an increase. But if pilots follow our fly-friendly program that we instituted last June and followed those patterns for takeoff and landing, the impact should be as minimal as possible.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's move from the runways to the surrounding area. One of the interesting things that we've heard about when we talked about the airport is the airport zones, both in terms of, let's talk north and south ends of the runway. The south end, there's the golf course. On the north end, there's a park and trees and a school and all the rest of that. And on one side, there's the river, which makes things somewhat easy. And then this side, the west side, there are a lot of different things. And there's one particularly interesting place for me, and that is the west end of the Crosswind runway, which is an open field that gets cleared of trees, et cetera, and has been spoken about in the past as possibly a place to have a dog park or a walking area, et cetera. From the perspective of the airport, how do you view those areas?
Well, those areas are areas in which the airport and the city of Palmer, for operational safety purposes, have to keep those clear of objects, especially tall objects, for takeoff and landing safety of aircraft. And so they have some limited use in regard to what we can and can't do with them from a FAA safety perspective. So long as structures there aren't permanent, i.e., or excessively tall, etc. So walking past a dog park where people are moving around, things of that nature, limited picnic benches that aren't too tall off the ground, well, those are acceptable activities. So the same would be agricultural purposes,
right,
in which you're growing hay, growing grass, growing non-bird attractant crops, things of that nature. So we have been looking and studying different options for that, both in terms of park and recreational activities or agricultural activities, putting it to some useful purpose in conjunction with its useful purpose as a safety zone for aircraft operation.
So you used the small word we, but I know that encompasses a lot of different people. There is an advisory group that works with the airport.
Yes.
Maybe describe for the listeners who are not familiar with that, who's on it, what does it do, and so on.
Yeah. When I use the term we, that involves a blanket of the city of Palmer interested parties, whether that's planning and zoning, whether that's Parks and Rec board, whether that's the Airport Advisory Commission, whether that's the city council, whether that's city administration or the FAA, in regard to many different aspects and input on something of that nature. But as you had mentioned, we do have an Airport Advisory Commission that's made up of 7 members. Some have interest in the airport and some do not, so that we get a fair and balanced approach to the advice that the commission gives the city council in regard to airport operations and recommendations for improvement, whether that be for regulation, leasing, airport activities, upcoming events, things of that nature. So like any board in the commissioner board in the city of Palmer, there are certain stipulations in regard to, you know, how many have to live within the city, how many, you know, for my board or the Airport Advisory Commission, how many members can have a business or interest in the airport and how many cannot, so that you get a fair and balanced approach to the advice that is given to city council, city administration in regard to those things.
So maybe just a step further then to ask the question about what we have with an entity called the airport. How is it funded? Is there any subsidy? Is it self-sustaining? Is it an enterprise fund? What is it?
Officially, Mike, the airport is an enterprise fund for the city of Palmer.
Right.
It's a fund that is a distinct entity in and of itself, and the airport receives revenue from various sources, the majority of which comes from leasing activity from the businesses out there that lease ground and establish a building and a business and pay the city of Palmer to operate at the Palmer Municipal Airport. A second income source would be tie-down revenue from the small aircraft, large aircraft that utilize the airport facilities to house and locate their airplanes. Third revenue source would be agricultural leasing. So we have a number of agricultural leases out there for growing hay in the infield or at the south end growing crops, things of that nature that are non-bird attractant. But that doesn't necessarily encompass all the income that the airport generates. There is side income that the airport generates, such as sales tax revenue for the city of Palmer, as well as property tax revenue that the city generates from those activities. And so all of those things mixed together don't quite add up to pluses and minuses equaling. And so sometimes the city has to, from its general fund, fund supplemental operations at the airport. But just like the library, just like the skate center, there are certain things that a city does that are for the public good and public well-being. And so as a government entity, an airport is one of those operations. For large capital improvement projects, most airports, i.e. 99.5% of all airports across the United States, receive funding from the Federal Aviation Administration in the form of airport improvement project grant money. And for the state of Alaska, in Alaska, in our region, the FAA on certain tiers of projects will fund 93.75% of a capital improvement project.
93.75%.
Yeah.
I'd almost want to know. I almost want to know why that number has come up rather than 92.6. But I won't go there. I won't go there with you.
In essence, the citizens of Palmer need to be concerned about is the 6.25%.
Exactly.
And so traditionally, that 6.25% has been separated out or split between the state of Alaska and the local municipal government. But recently, the budget concerns in Juneau have precluded from the state from participating in those types of matching activities.
Okay.
So now it's up to the local airport sponsor to make sure that they have that capital available for those matching funds. And so sometimes it's done through money out of the general fund. Other times we do get other grants. On this recent project, we do have a previous grant from the state of Alaska that was prior to the majority of the budget woes that we're now dealing with.
Okay.
So for instance, this current project, the city doesn't have to come up with too much money to leverage this $10 million of improvement. So it really is a win-win-win situation for all parties involved, i.e. the city of Palmer, its citizens, the stakeholders out there, the Division of Forestry to be able to fight fires better with newer facilities, and the ability to have new businesses come in with essentially a rehabilitated brand new airport and say, gosh, we've got some good digs here. Let's invest in the city of Palmer at this airport.
Okay. So you mentioned earlier birds. I know there are birds, lots of birds in spring and fall. There are geese and ducks and cranes and all the rest of it. Has there been much of a history of a problem with those large flights that come in and go out?
More problems are associated with people not paying attention to that activity. And so a pilot has to take personal responsibility to look at the notices issued to airmen or NOTAM in regard to that bird activity, call into the flight service station for advisories in regard to bird activity, if we have them, and be aware of where they are and what may occur. And then we try to do things to limit that bird activity.
Okay.
But we have no mind control over a flock of geese. So, you know, depending, we do our best, but it's a situation in which if there are migratory birds in the area, whether they are landing at the airport or not, just like heavy wind or clouds or thunder and lightning, a pilot has to be aware of those activities and take them into account when they are planning trips and flying and things of that nature. A moose could hop a fence and out in the middle of the runway, and a pilot has to be aware of that in the same respect that they need to be aware of bird activity in the area. But generally, every several years, an airport does wildlife studies.
Okay.
And takes action for abatement of those, you know, wild activities that don't necessarily injure or hurt wildlife, but try to have them go to different areas that won't necessarily hurt a pilot or the wildlife themselves. And so I believe in the next couple of years and 2 years, we're going to be engaging in another wildlife activity study to make sure that we're on top of things with the current greatest and latest techniques to make sure those incursions are limited as much as possible.
That sounds good. The of course, the other flying object is the artificial bird, drones. Can't let you go without asking about whether, as we were noting, that this seems to be an increasing topic, in part because there are every day more and more drones, more and more people of all sorts that are flying them. Any change in the intensity of drones getting closer to the airport, et cetera?
Winter time traditionally isn't a huge drone time in the state of Alaska, at least around the airport that I've noticed. Summertime, that activity will pick up. But to be quite honest, Mike, you know, drone operators, if they live within 5 miles of the airport and plan to operate their drone within 5 miles of the airport, must call in. And we have a drone hotline that's on our website, and that gives instruction. But they also need to talk to the airport superintendent or a city official and make sure that they understand the rules in which they have to operate. And those would be, in a nutshell, you need to keep your drone under 400 feet. It needs to be, you need to have visual eye contact with your drone at all times, and you need to make sure it's not in an area in which aircraft can strike it, i.e. keep it away from runways, taxiways, things of that nature. And needs to be under 55 pounds, which typically is the case. And there are two different levels of activities in regard to drones. One is a commercial activity in which a drone operator is operating for profit and receives income from their activities. And that is a huge and growing business, and it should be because it's a valuable activity. So if a drone operator is doing aerial surveys of the dump facility for the Matsu Borough to study different things, that's a commercial activity, and that's a whole different set of approvals and regulations that they have to go through the FAA. Private, personal, non-income generating, I want to fly a drone and take pictures of my birthday party in the backyard, doesn't require that. It's just more of an awareness campaign. But drone operators can go to the FAA's drone website and just need to Google, you know, drone activity, FAA regulations, and all that stuff will come up to get the full skinny on what needs to be done there.
Well, great. Great. That's a great summary for listeners about drones. And this is Mike Malevsky. I've been talking with Frank Kelly, who's the superintendent of the Warren Bud Woodsman of Palmer Municipal Airport. He mentioned the website. You go to the city of Palmer, there's a reference right there you can click on and get pretty much all the detail. We've talked about the Airport Advisory Committee, the meetings. We've talked about how to contact you, how to do pretty much everything, and a great description about the airport itself. We amazingly have gone through most of the time available to us. So in the last minute or so here, any final comments before we finish up, Frank?
Yes, thank you, Mike, for mentioning the website. This past year, we've done a lot of upgrades to that website and made a lot more information available. So on that website, there is a history page of the Warren Bud Woods Palmer Municipal Airport that gives the history of Warren Woods and Randy Tom, his co-pilot, that unfortunately died a number of years ago in a crash, and those things have been named after them. Also, we have a business and services directory, so if you're interested in contacting a business at the airport, that business and service directory will allow you to look up what business or service you're in need of for aeronautical purposes, and they'll have name, numbers, and websites and important links directly to those businesses. We also have airport news and aviation events page, and starting this past January, we have a new quarterly newsletter that will inform the public, pilots, and stakeholders out there of happenings at the airport. We have a fly-friendly program for those who are interested in knowing that the airport is trying to ensure that we're good neighbors with our neighbors, and trying to encourage patterns of flight that limit noise activities in and around the city of Palmer for its residents. And there's leasing and tie-down activity information, as well as the all-important airport master plan, which is just been finalized as of August 2016 with the final airport master plan displayed on that webpage. And it has a wealth of information about the airport, airport activities, and future and potential growth activities of the airport. And I would encourage anyone who is interested in the airport to visit that webpage, contact the Airport Advisory Commission with the contact information that's there, or myself, in regard to any type of questions or concerns or comments.
Okay. Well, thank you. Frank Kelly, Superintendent of the Palmer Municipal Airport.